Apollo 10 is approaching 175,000 miles as it prepares for this television transmission. We're showing 174,754,000 nautical miles. Velocity 3,406 feet per second. We'll stand by for the TV, which should be coming up shortly.
Hello, Houston. This is Apollo 10. You ought to be receiving something now.
Stand by. It's not coming in here yet.
Okay, we're just starting.
Roger. Will it be exterior shots, Jim?
Negative. We'll start interior right away and then take you outside.
Roger.
And then we'll bring you back inside. But we'll start inside, take you outside, and then bring you inside for the water bag.
Roger.
Let us know when you're receiving it.
Roger, we will. The networks and all are configured for this, so we're standing by.
Let us know when you get in the pick, Charlie.
Roger, we sure will. Ecoms is saying we got a 90-second warm-up on that transmitter, so it might take just a little bit longer. Okay, we got the black and white coming in
right now.
The black and white just came in with
okay,
the...
Okay, let us know when you...
Okay.
Let us know when you get color.
Okay, we're seeing your patch now in black and white. Be about just a few more seconds.
Color coming now.
We just got the color 10 in the on the Betacon here, and it's looking real good. Maybe a little bit of focus, but the colors are good, and it's a nice simple little patch we see.
This is the Peacock of Apollo 10.
Roger.
And we'd like to say hello from the five of us, if we may.
Roger. Okay, you want me to be a straight man on that question and
stand
ask you?
By one.
Okay.
Stand by one. Got a little technical difficulties here.
We're still getting a color, Dan.
As I said, here's the low from the...
Okay, go ahead.
Here's the low from the five of us. Here's the low from the five of us on Apollo 10. Here's Tom Stafford.
Okay, go ahead.
Here's the low from the five of us. Here's the low from the five of us on Apollo 10. Here's Tom Stafford.
He's a beautiful Tom Stafford there. He's in living color.
John Young.
We got John. He's a little dark down in there with his lights not on him, but we can tell it's John with his chin strap loose.
And you, and yours truly, Gene Cernan.
Roger, we got you, Gene. The sun is pretty bright. Yes, sir. The sun is pretty bright coming back out. Now you're coming in better. We see you slipping down in the LEB now.
Okay. Okay, that's the three of us, and here's the other two on Apollo 10. Your friendly Charlie Brown and our ever-loving companion Snoopy.
Roger, we got it coming in now. Okay, the colors on Charlie Brown and Snoopy a little dark. If you could get a little bit more light on them, it'd be fine, but we can recognize your characters. They look pretty happy up there.
How's that?
That's fine. Lift a little dark on the color. Could you stop it open a little bit more? Wait a minute. Okay, that's fine now.
There you go.
The red and the background on their cards are coming in fine. The we're washing out a little bit on the white of the Charlie Brown's coat and Snoop's face.
Okay, now you know that there's five of us up here. We'd like to take you outside and show you what the five of us are looking at.
Roger. Okay, we got the big earth in color. It looks like about a half earth now to us. It's a beautiful blue. We see the tremendous cloud coverage that you were talking about throughout the day, Ken.
Okay, Charlie, you're looking at the world right side up as we know it. The Gulf of Mexico goes Mexico goes down and to the right of the picture towards the Terminator. South America is in the lower right-hand corner of the picture on the Terminator. You can look up right smack in the center of the whole picture. If you can make out Mexico, is Houston right on the Gulf. And in North America goes up to about the 11 o'clock position on your picture.
Roger, we copy. We see primarily just the blues of the ocean and the whites of the clouds. And we have the cloud patterns are pretty evident, agree quite real closely with the weather map I have. It's pretty difficult to pick out the land masses here, though, I must admit. We see one brownish area, which appears to be in the American desert, about the center of the globe right now.
Yeah, Charlie, that's Mexico and into the southwestern United States right there, and Baja California is on the left of that, and the right-hand edge happens to be the Gulf of Mexico. If you can follow it at all up, you'll follow it right to Houston, and that's New Orleans.
Roger.
It's awful hard to ascertain the difference. Okay, Charlie, it's hard to ascertain between the water down there in the Gulf and the landmass because the whole east of the United States looks a greenish-brown versus water.
Roger, that helps us out here to locate ourselves, at least for me, Dan. I think I see where you're talking about now. We have one section of clouds that looks like it's almost a circular area, a clear area, and then the clouds that appear to come out of South and Central America swing out into the Pacific, and in the center of that, it looks like a clear area, which I'm seeing is the southern part of the United States from Mexico along the Gulf Coast. Is that correct?
That's it, Charlie. The Gulf of Mexico is right smack in the center, up and down of the world. Right, if you follow the Terminator down and went halfway and then went about halfway from there towards the rounder part of the Earth, you'll find the Gulf of Mexico and that brown area you're looking at. Mexico and the southeastern United States. That's Houston, right smack in the center of that clear area.
Roger, it appears...
That clear area goes from Central America right on up into the States.
Roger, we copy. It appears that the land masses are washing out just about as much as the clouds. Could you open it up a couple of stops and then stop it down fast so we can maybe get a little bit, a second or two of sharper definition?
Okay, let us know when it's a little better.
Okay, it was a little bit, there we go, if you can hold that, but I think it over, that's good right there, it's a lot better, Dan.
Okay. Charlie, we're full zoomed on you, and it's even hard for us to make out things with the naked eye unless we know where they are, so I imagine it's going to be difficult for you.
Roger, it's...
Okay, Charlie, the total globe that you see there is bigger than what we actually see since we have the zoom lens on it. It's probably about 1.25 times as big as we see it.
Copy, Ken. As I said earlier, we're primarily getting the globe on just a black background, and we see the whites of the clouds and the blues of the seas, with occasional glimpse of what I make out as the land masses and the brownish. But it's really difficult for an untrained eye to pick out the exact land masses. We're sitting in here with the impact book that we've got it to show the various sizes, and with this diagram, it's a big hill.
What you're saying, Charlie, is we're just too far away to give you a good picture.
Boy, you sure are a long way away.
I think what it is, Kang, is the land masses and the clouds tend to wash out, and it's a little hard to discern the difference, but looks like we can pick out the shapes of Yucatan and Florida and Cuba and the Gulf of Mexico.
Charlie, let me ask, do you see the area you said was a clear area and you think you can pick up Mexico there?
Roger.
Okay, if you follow up what you might think is the Gulf of Mexico there and then go straight north, you'll see a little bit of V in the clouds, and that's one going off to the right, that little thin sliver going to the right, is the one I've been mentioning all day that goes from Indiana on through the north east part of the country, and then that bigger blob that forms the left-hand side of the V is over the north-central United States, and then right smack in the center of the V is Lake Superior and Lake Michigan.
Roger, that's a good description, Ken. Clears it up for me anyway. I can see what you're talking about now.
And then way up on the upper left hand, maybe about 10 o'clock on the globe, you'll see a funny cloud pattern that sort of looks like a sea serpent of some sort with his beak pointing to the right. That's that cloud pattern that Tom was referring to up in the Alaska area.
Roger, that's nearly apparent to us. When you stop it down, we can see that pattern. Some of the time, though, it's washed out due to the tremendous cloud coverage in that area.
There it is, Charlie. That ought to be good.
Okay, it just came in on the black and white. We'll see it in just a second. Okay, now we see what you're talking about. Looks like an inverted U almost.
Now you ought to be it. Right, now you ought to be able to see that that V area I was talking about better, too.
Roger. It's coming in a lot better, Gene.
Okay, if you got a pretty good view of the outside, we'll take you back inside for one last quick minute.
Thanks a lot, Dan, for that view. It's real good. We'll be standing by for the water bag trick.
Okay, we'll take you back inside here now. I'll take care of it. Question for today, who is that?
It looks like John Young with four sets of eyes there, or two sets of eyes.
There you go.
Let's call it four eyes.
It looks like a World War I aviator.
What happens when you look through the telescope, see the sun?
Okay, may sound like we've been loafing for the past couple of days, but we haven't. We've been so busy, and every spare man we get, we study our flight plan. Here you see that pretty soon we're going to be going into orbit, and then we have a completely different set of operations to go into. Shows our pitch profile going around the moon for the first revolution. Tomorrow's a big day, and we're very much looking for it. Even though we're about 180,000 miles away from the Earth, there you never get away from studying.
That's a great picture, Tim. We can see the various spacecraft attitudes with the dark side of the moon and the bright side. And we see the limb and the command module linked together and going into a LOI-1 burn attitude. It's real clear. You can almost read the writing on the pages.
Roger, don't adjust your set. It's in black and white.
Roger. We can read on it.
Want to know where we're going? We'll show you a little bit of a chart of where we're going. Day after tomorrow, we ought to be seeing this in living moon color. Right now, it's in best black and white we've got. This is the area around landing site 2.
Roger. Could you open it up a little bit, Tim? We think maybe if you get a little bit wider f-stop, it'll help us out. Your picture's a little bit dark. That's a lot better, Tim.
The f-stop better.
Okay, Tim, when Gene moved back, it helped out a lot. If he'll just pull up the chart back, that's good now. It's coming in a lot better. Gene, could you...
The moral of the story is that John... The moral of the story is John just said that, you know, you could study all your life and you never finish studying, and here we are almost a quarter million miles away and we're still studying. And like Tom said, he's got two girls taking final exams this week, and this is his way of saying, get to work.
Roger. Okay, I'm sure they're listening. Would Gene, how about pointing to landing site 2 on the map for the folks?
Okay, landing site 2, I'll show you here in just a second. We'll be coming up from the bottom, and I'll stop my finger up on landing site 2. That's the area we hope to bring back some good pictures of in a couple days.
Roger.
That's the area where we'll eventually be actually landing on the surface of the moon. This area is probably just about visible from, you know, lighted, with the terminator of the moon lighted, I mean, from the Earth at this time. Just about.
Roger, we copy.
There's one advantage we have. If you don't like to turn your pages, you can always turn yourself to stuff.
Commander, you're in rare form today.
We figure that, you know, there's always a way of making things run downhill, and maybe even knowledge will make it run that way.
Well, I guess that's the message to the kiddies in the country. If they can't get their homework right side up, go upside down, they might be able to absorb more that way.
Roger. Looks like John's trying to hog a picture there, Gene. There you go. You pushed him out of the way. You got center stage now.
What a ham.
You want to see me push? Watch what happens.
That's called one finger power.
Right.
Okay, this is Apollo 10 signing off. We'll give you one more picture of the Earth here and call it a day. Oh, hold it. We want to show you the bag, too.
All right, we appreciate that.
Bag is half full of bubbly water.
And for those of you unfamiliar, there's the valve where the air and then the water comes out, and here's the handle. And notice they're both on the same side. Are you ready?
Go ahead. It's pretty difficult. Get some more light on it, Ken. It's pretty difficult to see the bubbles from that position.
I'll show you the bubbles after I stop.
Okay, it was full of thousands of minute little bubbles. You wouldn't pick them up. You'd barely see them with a naked eye, but they're there.
Dan, try spinning a little bit harder. Maybe that'll put the bubble to the top.
Hey, if I spun it so hard a while ago, I was going the other direction.
Right. Gene, hold it up next to the LEB disky. We couldn't see any bubble air if you got one together. Hey, that's a good... You're really spinning it now.
Okay, how's that for a bubble now?
Okay, we got it. Lovely. Okay, we see that bubble. Really a big one.
And it's in the bottom.
Charlie, worry about. The only thing we get by spinning them is making the little bubbles into a big one, and then it stays in the bottom.
Roger, is there any water left in the top of the bag, Dan?
No, there's no water in the top of the bag. All the water's out. We have tried it with semi-filled bags, with full bags, with half-full bags. What we really have been able to do, I think, is to get the bubble concentrated and then suck the water out from around it.
Roger, have you tried it filling the bag, both top and the bottom of the bag, and then spinning it?
Yeah, we tried that too.
Well, it doesn't look like it works then, does it?
Charlie, you can see the bubble real good, can't you?
Right, yeah, we have it, Tom. It's quite evident here to us. We'll have the experts look at this, and maybe they can come up with something for later on this evening for you.
Hey, Charlie, it is true, though, that water goes to the bottom of the bag.
Right.
That phenomenon we have proved.
But also the air gets down there when you stop spinning, the big bubbles at the bottom.
Roger, we copy.
Okay, this is the Apollo 10. We'll take you outside for one last look at the Earth and sign off.
Roger, thank you very much. Okay, Ken, we just got the exterior view. We got the Earth in the center of the screen, and it's a little bit different orientation this time. We see the North Pole up in the northeast, about the 2 o'clock position on our screen now.
Yeah, he'll rotate the camera over a little bit. He was just tilting it for ease of handling here. He's rotated it back now, Charlie.
Roger.
Today.
Thank you much, Dan. We appreciated the show. It was very nice. We'll see you tomorrow.
Dan, okay, tomorrow we should be around the moon.
Roger. Up to the top, and if that doesn't work, then our only suggestion is going to the fruit juice bag and our food bag and filling it up and then spinning it till you get a big bubble and then kneading it up to the top where the food port is and then evacuating it that way.
Roger, we've tried most of that, but we'll press on here. And again, we're all thinking here, that's the only problem we got on this mission. We're going to be in great shape.
Roger, we concur.
Yeah, I mean, you can tell what kind of shape we're in when we can talk about things like that.
Roger. Hey,
Charlie, one thing I want to check.
Go ahead, Tan. It appears
you
just.
You like to talk a lot, Charlie.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Hey, this time delay, I think's giving us some problem. If you just keep talking when you hear me, you're still downlinking and I'm still receiving you, so if I interrupt you, I'll just stop talking if you start or when I'm talking, over.
Okay, real good. Charlie. We'll try to be more observant on that. And again, you might give us a time that when you want us to start the BTC mode again. And also, I just wanted to check if the color is still looking pretty good on the TV.
All right. We thought it was real good here, Dan. It was the earth, the interior. Hold on. Back with you, Dan. The interior shots in some of the darker portions.